Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com alongside David Deal. I'm Lance Medow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We'll get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in via hashtag Giants chat. We're going to preview the Cowboys matchup, but let's start obviously with some injury news, Dave. And we learned this morning that JPP underwent surgery, so he's going to be out at least 6 weeks. He clearly has been their most consistent pass rusher. His ability to stop the run has been brought to the forefront. It's going to be very difficult to fill that void.
It is going to be very difficult, and it could not happen at a worse time right now, especially with the way that he's been playing, the way that Olivier Vernon and him have been playing in complement with one another, having a 1-2 punch on opposite sides of the ball. So it is going to be very important moving forward here to overcome having an injury like JPP. We don't know exactly what it was. They're saying core. It could have been a sports hernia. We have no idea. But the fact of the matter is, this Giants team has got to find a way on the defensive side of the ball to move forward without him. Obviously, this is going to put more on the plate of Kerry Wynn, who's going to have to step up and play more. Okwara, who's been more of a third down guy, is going to have to come in and play more football. We'll see what the status, which you're going to go over the injuries. Odigizuwa was drafted to play football and be a defensive end on this football team. We'll see his status moving forward this week. But another player that really can step up and play in that fill of that void is if they play an under defense, get Devon Kennard on the ball, have him a little bit down there more in the run support, because that's where it's going to be needed up against this attack that the Dallas Cowboys are going to come in with, their ground and pound being the only team in the NFL to run the football 50% or more of the time and to really control the clock and try to dictate the tempo of this football game. So it's a very tough loss for the New York Giants, but it is what it is. You have to find a way moving forward here to try to replace him, which is basically impossible to do. But Steve Spagnuolo, this defense have to find schemes in order to still be able to attack the quarterback the way that they want to. But more than anything, be stout at the point of attack and not get edged at that defensive end position where Ezekiel in those inside zones likes to bounce that ball outside and force linebackers and defensive backs to tackle because of their ability at the offensive tackle position to cover up defensive ends.
He's very shifty, as is Dak Prescott, Dave. It's not just Ezekiel Elliott that you have to be concerned about. You need to seal off the edge because the quarterback can take off with his legs as well.
No question, and that's something that in the time that I played throughout my career and still to this day, something that defenses, let alone the Giants defense, struggle up against is a mobile, scrambling quarterback. And that is definitely going to be something that you're going to have to watch in this football game, considering the fact how much man coverage they've played on the back end. You know, if Dak Prescott doesn't see anyone open and he sees backs turned against him, this is his opportunity to make big plays with his legs. And the other thing that you've heard out of Dallas that they've done before the Washington game and inklings going into this one, we may see the wildcat out of this Dallas Cowboys offense as well.
They could get creative based on their personnel and so forth. As you alluded to, it's so important to be well-disciplined in a game like this to set containment
that they can't force scramble. Everything from the inside and make it all bounce back to where the flow of the defense is. And that's something that they've done a great job of, allowing their offensive line to pave the way. They do a lot of back blocks, whether it's with Jason Witten coming back and sealing the backside defensive end, so that essentially as an offensive lineman in those zone schemes, you say there is no backside to the running game. You allow it that you cover up everybody and you allow Ezekiel Elliott to play at his best, use his vision, let the block set up, and then pick his point of target of where he wants to hit it, just like he had in the game winner up against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, Dave, it's interesting you brought up Jason Witten because, you know, covering the tight end's been an issue for the Giants the last few weeks, and you mentioned, you know, the Giants have relied on a lot of man-to-man defense. Well, if they now have to use extra personnel to stop the run and contain the quarterback, now all of a sudden, Witten may have some opportunities in the middle of the field.
And Witten has always been, whether it was Tony Romo or now Dak Prescott, he has been that security blake, and he is a proven veteran, an unbelievable route runner, knows where to sit and in zone coverages, knows where to find those openings. And you look at his numbers this year, 52 catches, 28 of them were for first downs.
Big third down target.
Big third down target, big red zone target. He and Dez Bryant are the ones that they go to, but Beasley has been the one in the red zone and winning those one-on-one matchups where they create with him going one-on-one up against linebackers. He's elevated his game. He has statistical numbers. He leads the team in receptions. He's got a career high in every aspect. And Cole Beasley is almost like, you want to say like the John Stockton of their offense, minus the short shorts. He's the guy who he assists everyone. He sets up everybody else with his route running and where they put him in position, where he sets up other people to make big plays down the field.
Yeah, he's been a big target for Dak Prescott as well. It's the continuation of how Romo relied on those two for the Dallas Cowboys. So the loss of JPP could very well impact the Giants' defense from various different angles. As Dave mentioned, opportunities for Kerry Wynn, opportunities for Romeo Okwara, and opportunities perhaps for Devon Kennard, who has been used down on the line of scrimmage throughout the course of this season. So glad you could join us for Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. We are getting you set for the Cowboys-Giants game on Sunday Night Football, talking about JPP's injury. We're going to open up the phone lines at 201-939-453, as well as hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Before we get to the lines, just want to run through the initial injury report that Dave had alluded to. We won't know who's going to practice until later on, but this is who's going to appear on the list. Nat Burhey, concussion, as well as Mark Herzlich. Jonathan Hankins dealing with a quad. Dwayne Harris, an ankle injury. O.O. Digizua, who obviously will also have an opportunity to fill in for JPP. He's still nursing a knee injury. Justin Pugh with the knee, and Cody Sensabaugh with the ribs. So a lengthy injury report here as they enter a critical stretch, Dave.
I mean, well, this is football in December. I think that every team basically on their roster has a injury report like this, but it is the teams that are able to find themselves, get their teams healthy to play on Sundays, and here down the stretch are the teams that continue to build confidence and make that playoff push that they need to. So we will see what happens after practice, but there are a lot of names, but you're hoping that names like Jonathan Hankins, a must-need up against the run.
Yeah.
Dwayne Harris, want to have him back for his return ability so that you're not taking OBJ out of his responsibilities as a receiver. O.O. Digizuo, not having JPP, he is a player that needs to step up. Justin Pugh is a great one. If they can get him back on the offensive line, put him at that left guard position, get him back fully healthy and ready to play up against this Dallas Cowboys defense, I think that would be an advantage of then now, once again, going back to the jumbo package in order to help supplement this run game for the Giants offense that is going to be needed up against this Dallas Cowboys defense.
Yeah, because Marshall Newhouse can become a swing offensive lineman under those circumstances, as you mentioned. And when you look at the Cowboys defense, they've been good against stopping the run, Dave, but they haven't been able to get to the quarterback very consistently. Just 23 sacks on the season.
Well, the reason why they've been able to stop the run so successfully is they've been out on the field for the most opportunities and most possessions than any other defense in the NFL because of their offense ability to run the ball, control the time of possession, and really cover up the weaknesses of this Rob Marinelli defense. And you hit the nail on the head. They are not a team that can consistently get after the quarterback with four, but the way that they find themselves being able to do that because of forcing teams on negative plays on first and second down, getting them in third and longs, and getting off the field is the way that they've been able to do it, and the field position that their offense has been able to provide them as well. So you're right. This is a time where the Giants' offense in the run game can really control things if on first and second down they stay ahead of the chains and they wear down this Dallas Cowboys defense, because these last six games of the eight, they've been out on the field a lot of time. And then what was, hold on, let me look up the statistic here. I wrote it down specifically for you. Six of the last eight, they've been on the field for 70-plus plays, which they haven't before. And what has it allowed? Only one takeaway in five of those. So the fact that they've been out on the field much more, they're starting to break down, they're starting to wear down. But the fact that their offense is still able to control the football, especially the way that they're able to in the fourth quarter, it allows their defense to regroup, refresh, and make sure that they have those impact plays of the give and don't break defense that they have in Rob Marinelli's scheme.
Yeah, Dallas follows the philosophy the best defense is to just keep your offense on the field.
Yes.
And not have your defense get worn down, as the numbers just showcase. They only have 11 takeaways on the season, so it's not an opportunistic defense like we saw, Dave, in comparison 2014, when they essentially did the same thing, pounded the football, time of possession, Romo was under center. They had 31 takeaways that season as a defense. That on top of the offense dominating time of possession, it's understandable why they went 12-4 under those circumstances.
It most certainly is. I mean, when you have an offense that can do that for your defense, you can make an average defense look good to great, which they've done this season because of the numbers and the way that they're able to control things on the offensive side of the ball. And like I said, this Rob Marinelli defense, It's almost like a bend but don't break. It's like a modified Tampa 2 that they run. They want to get back in coverage. They want to have a lot of underneath routes, shallow crossers. Don't let anything get behind them. And they want to bleed the clock. They want to take off as much time as possible and allow their offense just to manipulate the time of the game.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. He's David Deal. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for joining us for Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. All right, let's open up the phone lines. Oren is in Richmond, and he gets us going. Oren, what's happening?
Hello. I've been watching the games lately. I'm really proud of how our defense has kept the offense in the game now. But I feel like this JPP injury should give a awakening to the offense now, like that they need to really step up now. And I see, get them motivated to actually to start moving the ball and start actually playing really good, because this is a really good matchup. Because that they got Dallas secondary is not really all that great, and then like you said, they're not getting to the quarterback like that. And I feel like the offense should take advantage of this.
It's a great, point.
Picking up and starting to move the ball, I feel like that's going to make the defense even work more harder and stuff. Since JPP's injury, I feel like that could be like a blessing to motivate everybody to start playing, getting each other's back and all that. That's how I feel.
It's a great point. You know, anytime in my career as a player out on the football field, regardless of whether it's an offensive guy or a defensive guy who has the significance that JPP has to this football team, the entire team has to elevate their game. You're 100% correct in that. Offensively, still yet to be a team to get over 30 points in a game, only one of five teams to do so this season. And it's going to be vital for this offense this week to make sure that they control things at the line of scrimmage, that they really dictate things and try to minimize the effectiveness of Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott.
Hey, can I ask you guys one more question?
Sure.
Real quick? What is wrong with Will Beatty? Like, I understand, like, he hasn't played football in a while and all that stuff, but he knows how to go through these games and stuff. And I feel like if this to give him a shot, you know what I'm saying? Because it seems like Eric Flowers is not ready yet, mature enough to handle that left tackle position. I feel like maybe just give him a shot, like, because Dallas doesn't really have a good defensive line like that, that maybe we could see, maybe. Because he played, last time I checked, Will Beatty played not that bad when Ben McAdoo first came in. I didn't really see that he wasn't the problem of the offense. Like, I feel like he was really big help. And I feel like you put Eric Flowers onto the right tackle, that can make the offense much better in a way. You know what I'm saying? I feel like Will Beatty can handle that more than Eric Flowers right now. I feel like he's kind of down right now, and he's not, you know, that's how I honestly feel.
I understand where you're coming from, and, you know, signing Will Beatty and yet to be see him out on the football field yet is obviously a question that people have. But at the same token, you're graded as a player each and every day when you're out on the practice field, the way that you approach things and the opportunities that you get as a football player. In order for him to play, he has to show in practice that he is capable and better than the people in front of him, and thus far he has not done that. Hence, no changes at the offensive line as of now.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
You all right, got Oren. It. Thanks you for the it. Call, Oren.
Thanks so much for weighing in. Got to show Mike Solari and company each and every day that you're worthy of jumping up. And I remember what relates to this, Dave, when Marshall Newhouse was sidelined with the injury and Newhouse was ready to come back, they asked Solari, you know, where does Bobby Hart stand? It says, Bobby Hart's one of the top five offensive linemen. We're not pushing him back to the bench because he's proven in practice he belongs in the starting lineup.
Exactly. When you're in the NFL, you have to prove it day in and day out. Nothing's given to you. And I think right now, you know, with the way that things are going, like I said, Justin Pugh is going to be a key factor moving forward here in December, getting him back into the groove, getting him back at the left guard position so that at the point of attack in the running game, they get movement and get things going up front, because that's the thing that is needed for this group offensively. They are not getting it done running the football. I think everybody who's sitting here watching the games, everybody can watch and see that it's not getting done in the ground game. And how much it is affecting this offense, because this offense, as much as you want to go three wide and go in your max stuff, this offense is also predicated on play action and not being one-dimensional. And the only way that you can do that is by running the football.
Setting up the opportunities
without
down the
a doubt.
Field. and trying to milk the clock, especially in a game like this that we talked about. And I'm looking at the numbers, Dave. I mean, a huge disparity. The Giants are 31st in time of possession, 26-50 they're averaging. And then you look on the other side, the Cowboys are number one, 32-39.
We're talking
opposite ends of the spectrum going up against one another.
And that's going to be a key. And like I said, you know, as an offense, when you're playing up against a team that runs the football the way that they do, especially the way that they really manipulate and control things in the fourth quarter, taking that play clock down as much as they possibly can and keeping defenses off keel, it is going to be crucial, not only in this game, but moving forward in the whole month of December, being able to run the football and break down defenses. Because like I said, this is a group on their defensive side of the ball. They're not on the field a lot. So that keeps them fresh. That allows Rob Marinelli to rotate in almost like hockey lines at sometimes at the front in the front defensive line, three in, three out, four in, four out, because their ability to keep people fresh. And that's their way that they've been able at times to get the pressure on the quarterback, because they have that rotation of players going in and out.
And when you don't really have a dominant pass rusher, it helps to keep everybody fresh and rotate guys to see if you can get some type of a spark.
And what they'll do is there's a lot of stunts, twists, a lot of defensive line movement to make up for that lack of one elite pass rusher.
Let's head back to the phone lines here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, 201-939-4513. We got Don in Dallas. Don, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? What's going on, Dave?
Hey, Don.
Big, big fan of y'all show, man. Anyways,
I'm
out here in the late city. I call it Dallas, man. It's so slow out here. But listen, one thing I just want to say, I'm not really going to point out anything. I'm just a big fan, man. I bleed blue, honestly speaking. I don't care where I'm at. I wear my hat. I wear my jerseys with pride. So all I'm going to say is this. We need to stop beating ourselves. You know, I mean, JPP, he's a leader. I mean, he's been leading us. I mean, look at it. I mean, I'm not precise on the numbers, but, I mean, let's face it, he's been a dominant force. But, I mean, Kerry Wynn could step in. We got guys that could step in. We could take Dallas. We're the only team that beat them, and we don't get enough credit for it, and I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. We're in a crucial stage of the season, the regular season. I think we're bound for playoffs, and we need to lift our head up high and believe that, listen, we can do this. We can do this. We've been here before. Eli been there before. Yeah, our offense need this. This is the time. Like, it's a show-me game. Like, we need to step up. Our offense needs to step up and make these plays that we need to play assignment football, period. Okay, the Dallas secondary is not – it's not all of that. It's really not all of that. And we got the weapons. Like, we got the weapons. I was looking at the Sight and Sounds of week one. Like, we was – in that game, if you go back and look at just the Sight and Sounds, we was hungry. We was hungry, and we need to get back to that. We could go in there and shock Dallas so good on Sunday. Like, I see it. I don't doubt that we can win this game. I have no doubt. Detroit, we could – I mean, that's you know, here nor there. But, I mean, Dallas, their secondary – it's just calling for Eli to make the spark now, not later. Now. We need to step up now. You know, and I that's it. I mean, honestly, my question and the only question I'll take off air is the gentleman that called earlier, you know, he kind of made a valid point. You know, do you think it's a good idea to maybe put Will Beatty in there and have him, you know, just see what he does on the left side? You know what I mean? I think he got it in him. I mean, I love Flowers. I know he got room to grow. He got a lot of potential. But, I mean, in this game, we need to mix our cards, you know, move everything around, you know, shock Dallas where they don't, you know, where they don't anticipate it. We could do it. And what y'all think, I'll take it off here.
All right, Don, appreciate the phone call. I want to get your opinion, Dave, because, I mean, you've played on the offensive line. Is it good to do what he's saying, to shake things up this late in the season? Because chemistry and continuity is also important.
Chemistry and continuity is a lot. Dealing with footwork, especially in the zone scheme, making sure that you have the same mesh, the same footwork, so that a defensive tackle can't split you when you're working double teams. So there are a lot that go into it, and it's not a position where it's just a plug-and-play position where things are just going to seamlessly transition into the way that you want them to. But having said all that, like I said, you're evaluated each and every day. And believe me, if there is anybody who wants players to succeed and want them to be their best to put them out on the football field, they're coaches, because when players do that, it will help the team win football games. At this point, at this juncture, he has not shown enough to the coaching staff in order to get that opportunity to move in front and play as a starter.
And it's a reflection of the coaching staff, too. If you coach a guy up and you put him in, you get good results. Speaks volumes of what the coaching staff is able to do. The caller also pointed out, looking on paper, the Cowboys secondary, it looks susceptible and so forth. But, you know, Dave, I can't overlook the fact that I feel like we've talked about this storyline in previous weeks. You go up against the Browns defense, you go up against the Bears, and all of these things look attractive, and the offense hasn't necessarily taken advantage of those favorable matchups.
No, and then that's the thing, that you always want to get enamored by numbers going into games. Oh, well, they're not good at this. It's always talking about what they're not good at. But when you're talking about the Dallas Cowboys defense, they are, what are they, fifth against the run?
Yeah, very good against the run statistically.
Red zone, they're second in the NFL, so they're keeping teams out of the end zone. So as much as you want to talk about their limitations, you also have to talk about their strengths and the things that you have to do to combat those. So I understand where everybody's coming from, and this is a crucial game. Everybody understands what's invested, what's on the line. And if the Giants come out and play the way that they have and win at home, which are, right now the Giants are what at home?
5-1.
5-1, that's right, Lance.
Yep.
If they're able to come out and play the game that they want to and win this game at home in the 5-1 streak that they've had, where all games have been in 7 points or less, it goes to show you how important it is when the Giants do get in the red zone to not settle for field goals. They have got to put touchdowns in the board, and they have got to try to put the offense of the Dallas Cowboys in a bind to where they are not just sitting there milking it the entire time, because they are all set up, they're ahead of the game, and they can rely their defense just to take a deep breath and play containment.
And red zone was a huge part of the storyline going back to
week
one, Dave.
Yes.
Cowboys were 1-for-3 in the red zone, and then you looked at the Giants were 3-for-3 in the red zone, because the Giants actually capitalized on their opportunities. And Dallas was moving up and down the field in week one, but they couldn't punch it in. The Giants' red zone defense came to the rescue. So, you know, that could be a big type of balance that we see play out over the course of this contest. Each team can move the football, but who can actually punch it in?
And that's a key factor in any football game. When you look at these games, especially in the month of December, you know, you can't settle for field goals, number one, because of how important it is when you see at the end of the game how close the margin of victory is. But two, there's no guarantee anymore. A field goal and an extra point, if we've seen.
There's no more chip shots.
There's no more chip shots. They look like me hitting my pitching wedge out there sometimes. But there's no chip shots. So you can't rely on thinking that you're guaranteed 3 points in a game. You need to make sure offensively that you punch it in, and it comes with an attitude and a determination that you're not going to get denied.
The last call also brought up a point about the fact that maybe a lot of people are not putting much stock in that week one game because it was Dak Prescott's first start. It was Ezekiel Elliott's first start. I mean, it is fair to say the Cowboys have come a long way.
Without
offensively,
a doubt.
Dave.
Yeah, well, you can definitely say that, but the Giants football team have come a long way as well.
Yeah.
You can look at it in both ways that you want to, and of course they're going to say that, well, it was so long ago, it was the first week. A win's a win. It's on the column board, and it counts towards your record, and that's all that matters.
You don't get brownie points for when you win, how you win, and so forth.
When you talk about it how many years from now and you look at the win-loss record, well, they only lost that one or won that one by 3 points. It's a win or loss. It doesn't matter how it gets done.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. He is David Deal. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for spending part of your Wednesday with us here on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live. We've got Matt in East Islip. Matt, what's happening?
What's going on, guys?
Doing well, Matt.
Dave, I'm happy you're back on. It's been a while. Because I wanted to talk a little bit about the offensive line like everybody else. But I wanted to point out a bright spot and a negative. The bright spot, I think, to be honest with you, Bobby Hart's played pretty well considering where he came from, I think, the start of training camp till now. I thought the Steelers game, he was actually not that bad. I thought he played somewhat pretty decent. And, you know, want your take on that. And then I wanted to just talk about Flowers as far as his technique. So, you know, Dave, you and I have talked before, and we've talked about, you know, Flowers. And I think the biggest thing with Flowers, and I think from an offensive line standpoint, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you ever watch him play on contact, he's not very heavy-handed. He always keeps his hands outside on a lot of the guys on the shoulders. He doesn't punch the chest. And he bends at the waist. He doesn't bend at the hips and the knees. So I feel like he doesn't always get the leverage. And I know he's a big guy, 6'7", 6'8", around there. And I think that's his biggest problem, is because he doesn't get the leverage and his punch, and he dips his head. And I noticed that. I mean, just taken away from that, I think that could be part of his problem. What do you see with that, Dave?
Well, you sound like an offensive line coach yourself, because you're talking about a main point as an offensive tackle. You know, as an offensive lineman, people always talk about leverage, and people first mm-hmm. instantly think of being lower than the other person, getting your shoulder pads under them. One of the biggest yeah. things of leverage is hand leverage, getting your hands right. inside, being able to punch, being heavy-handed. And the biggest thing as an offensive tackle is anything you can do to restart or redirect your defensive end's rush. That's the main thing you're right. trying to do. You're trying to disrupt their path on the way to the quarterback and force them into a secondary move, which takes time, which allows you to cover them up as an offensive tackle. So you're 100% correct. It comes down to yeah. technique, and it's something that needs to be fixed by him as a offensive tackle. If you are not able to redirect, punch, and get your hands inside, that's where you face a lot of problems. That's where you get into a lot of struggles, and that's where you get the holding calls as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I played offensive line in college, so I know the technique a little bit. Obviously, not as much as you or even Eric Flowers. So I don't want to speak.
You've done a great job, my man. You've done a great job.
Got the jargon
down. Yeah.
Good. All right. So, and then my last, I have one more point. I think, and it has to do with, like we talked about. You guys just talked about the red zone. So the red zone, you know, Eli loves the tight end in the red zone. He loves throwing the fades, and now we're running a lot of the shallow crosses over the middle on linebackers, which is great. But I think if you get Vereen back, I think he helps in the red zone and obviously overall in the offensive passing game just as a intimidation factor, because now the linebackers have to key him and say, okay, we got to make sure we're aware of Vereen, because then that may open up some spots in the middle for other guys, and then if they key on the other guys, then that leaves Vereen. So it's kind of like a pick your poison, and just having him as the intimidation factor in the red zone I think will help, and overall in the game. What do you guys think about that? And I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Matt. It's interesting he brought up utilizing a running back as a receiver, because they're coming off a game, Dave, where they ran the fake end around and
yeah.
Rashad Jennings
yes.
caught a ball and ran it into the end zone. So, I mean, I think they already have the versatility of running backs that could catch the ball in the backfield. I get the point. Vereen, you have to account for him, but, I mean, at the same time, you have to account for Jennings and even Paul Perkins when they're in the red zone as well.
And that's why, obviously, you've seen the emergence of Paul Perkins play more as a football player, not only as a rookie learning and understanding the offense and understanding how important it is to have not a knowledge of just the playbook in itself holding on to the rock, but how important it is in pass protection as a running back to know blitz pickup and schemes of what you need to do before you go and chip and help and get out on your route. But having said all that, yeah, they're trying to utilize what they have, but yeah, Shane Vereen was brought into this offense and to this football team for that reason, because of the way that he's able to create mismatches out of the backfield, lining up at the slot, or always sometimes lining up as a number one receiver, motioning and going empty out of the backfield. So, you know, obviously getting Shane Vereen back would be a huge addition to this offense.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt, and it's similar to how the Steelers utilize Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, they line him up more as a wide receiver, it seems, than use him as a running back.
And he's got the most targets and receptions out of any running back.
Yeah.
And when you're allowed to do that offensively, and when you have a back that has that type of ability, it just maximizes your opportunities not only to get it to those running backs, but to the other wide receivers because of the mismatches that it creates by forcing a linebacker or then having to take a DB to bring him down, play him in the box up against the running back, and then being able to manipulate how you scheme everything else in your passing tree.
Want to keep the defense on its toes, and you can certainly do that with various personnel. Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. Hey, Dave. How you guys doing today?
Excellent, Drew. How are you, my man?
Good, man. Good to hear from you today, Dave. Hey, I got a quick question, man, for you. You know, we all know that this offensive line has problems and everything. And, you know, I've watched them a lot, man. And, they've been getting beat a lot and, you know, seem like dead ones getting bull rushed and everything. And I kind of feel like there's no attitude, there's no physicalness on this line. You know, you look at Beattie, you know, when he was in, he was having problems. Newhouse is having problems. Flowers is having problems. You know, part of it is mental, but, you know, I look at the physical side of that. What do you think about that, Dave? And I got another question, too, but what do you think about that, Dave? Just real quick.
I mean, it is. When you're playing that position, it's an attitude. It's a determination that regardless of what the circumstances are, whatever front that they're going to be in, you're going to get the job done regardless. And I think that's something that has to take place and you have to take ownership of as a group, because you know that after you face a tough week and you didn't play the way that you're capable of, like the group did up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you have to sit on it for a week and you have to learn from it. You have to watch it, digest it. But more than anything, you have to handle that adversity and chain it and put it into something that is positive, and it all comes by the way that you respond from it and work moving forward. Because you know at that group, if you don't get your job done as a group, it doesn't matter what the rest of the group does.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way I feel. I just feel like the offensive line as a whole has just been, you know, just basically just been out-physical by a lot of teams, and it's disheartening, you know, because you look at the running game, and, you know, you can't even pick up a yard, you know, when you go for, you know, for this and that, and you know, the running game is constantly being abandoned. Yeah, it's you know, to me, it's an attitude. And then the other thing, man, JPP, you know, that's obviously a huge loss. And I know, you know, last couple of weeks, you know, we've been getting a pass rush, you know, somewhat of a, you know, I would call it somewhat of a pass rush. And the defense has been playing pretty good. But now with the loss of JPP, you know, I'm praying and hoping that I'm wrong. But, you know, the pass rush was already, you know, suspect, you know, somewhat. And, you know, and really, let's be for real, we did play a lot of subpar teams. That said, I do definitely agree. To me, man, the loss of JPP definitely puts the onus of these next coming games on the offense. And, you know, maybe it's me, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in the offense. I do want you to speak to me on that. But let me make one last point, and then I'm going to hang up. The Dallas game. Yeah, we beat Dallas in game in week one and everything, but, you know, really, and a win is a win. I'm not going to take nothing away. A win is a win. But really, when you look at the way that game ended, Dallas more or less beat themselves at the end of the game.
Well, you're referring to Terrence Williams not running out of play. But in fairness, and I think that's a valid point, Drew, that's no chip shot for Dan Bailey, even under those circumstances.
No. Yeah. I'm not going to say that.
We're looking at a 60-plus-yard field goal. Yeah.
Right. You are definitely right about that. As a matter of fact, you actually beat me to that point.
My apologies.
I was going to say that. You know, given field goals, because obviously we've seen them ourselves, given field goals, the way field goals are going, yes, there are no chip shots. But my point is Dallas was in that game. And, you know, you mentioned it yourself. Dallas did march up and down the field. So,
absolutely.
You know, there's no guarantee that we're going to win this game. I'm obviously rooting heartedly that we do beat Dallas, but people need, you know, sometimes I think fans need to get, you know, check themselves. Okay, there's no lock that we're going to win Dallas, get this Dallas game. And both teams are completely two different teams. You're talking week one.
Absolutely.
Versus, what is this, week 11? So, yeah, Dallas, the bottom line is Dallas is on a roll. I'm hoping we beat Dallas, but again, you know, everybody keeps saying, you know, oh, Dallas is secondary, is weak, blah, 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 blah. Every time we talk about somebody's secondary, we are the ones who come up short on this. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Go Giants, please beat Dallas. But I'm telling you right now, it's going to have to be on the offense.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you look at what the Cowboys have been able to put up consistently, Drew, and appreciate the phone call. I think those are all valid points, and I don't think you could take for granted, well, game one played out this way, so it's definitely going to happen that way numerous weeks down the road. I mean, you look at the Dallas Cowboys numbers, and we went over them a lot, Dave. You look at the points per game that they're being able to put up, whether it be thanks to the running game or the passing game. This is a team that's averaging 28 points per game. That's tied for fourth in the NFL. They have the fourth-ranked total offense. We mentioned they're first in time of possession. They're second in rushing yards per game, and they're very effective in their red zone offense. They're fourth in the NFL. They're getting touchdowns 66% of the time. So, I mean, the numbers show this is not a game that the defense is going to come in and say, sure, you know, things that worked in previous games, we can just roll over to this contest.
No, exactly not. And the other thing, like we talked about in this game, is – when you play up against a quarterback like Dak Prescott, he forces you to play 11-on-11 football, which not a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL do. He forces you to make sure that your defensive ends have lane contained and they have discipline while rushing the quarterback, but not overrunning the hump and making sure that the minute you get, you press it into so that you don't allow him to escape and get outside of the pocket. That's the thing that really scares me, is his ability to run the football and manipulate things with his feet because of the fact that the man coverage that the Giants have been playing in the games recently.
Now, Roethlisberger certainly doesn't have the same amount of speed, but
no.
He did roll out on that
rolled
play this past
right,
weekend
yep.
that led to the Antonio Brown touchdown, where he can extend plays, and Dak can certainly do the same.
Exactly, and those are the things that scare you when you have a quarterback like Dak Prescott who has that ability but has shown throughout that time that in that ability, he's not flinching anymore. He's still going through his progressions. He's still looking downfield, and now he has that cohesion and that chemistry with his receivers that if it is a scramble drill, they're working back
they
to
know.
The football. They know where to go with it. And he's not – the biggest thing is he is so efficient with the football. Right now, only 2 interceptions. And for that, out of a young player, to be able to be efficient with the football like that, and then what is it? He has – where is it? Look at da-da-da-da-da. Here it is. No interceptions in the last 163 attempts.
And they've gone up against some good defense, the Vikings they had in their last contest,
yep.
which has been a very opportunistic defense. He's extremely polished.
Yes.
For somebody that has not been in the league for very long, very polished.
And they allow him to play inside of what his football game is. They don't ask him to do too much. They know how to make sure that they change up which way they manipulate the snap count or the way that they motion and do different things to out-leverage a defense on the offensive side of the ball. They want to create mismatches. They want to make sure that if they can, motion to do things to avoid press coverage and to see if they can get a defense to show their hand.
Let's head back to the phone lines here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We got Big Ed in Maryland. Big Ed, what's happening?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
What's up, Big Ed?
Big Lance and my man, Big Dave.
Big Ed, how's everything?
So what do you got for us, Big Ed?
Hey, Big Dave, you got to go talk to him, man. I thought about it like the last, since watching the game Sunday and everything, you got to go talk to those guys. I was thinking you and Rich and Sean and even Chris, go talk to this line and let them know what they're capable of as far as getting things, getting the not only the technique but the play call selection down too. Because we don't need, like everybody's been saying, we don't need unnecessary penalties beating ourselves any further. That's my biggest thing. It's like everybody's talking about the same thing, so it's like the things they're talking about, that's it right there. Offensive line will put us right in the Super Bowl if we're right. I think we got everything. Everybody knows this is it. This is the game. This is the game of our season right here. Win this game, we pretty much locked in the division and everything else. But we're going to have to win the rest of the games. I guess my field thing is for you, Dave, is what would you say to them?
As far as a pep talk goes.
Yeah, I was waiting to see if there was a follow-up from Big Ed. That's it. Just what would I say to him? Buckle up your chin strap and get ready out there when you're called upon and it comes to Sundays. Get ready to finish football games and fight for 4-plus quarters and get after people. That's the determination and the demeanor that you have to have as an offensive lineman. You're going to face adversity as a group. We did it, and when we were rolling, everybody faces it. But it's the teams that are tough enough and the groups that are tough enough to bite down, grin and bear it, stick your chin and your chest out, and get back to work. And that's definitely, I know that they're preaching on the offensive side of the ball because, like I said, as much as this game has changed, as much as the evolution of going 60% three wides and all this stuff, if you can't run the football, you're not going to have a successful offense.
Always goes back to the fundamental.
Always goes back to the fundamental and old school of ground and pound, making sure that you're hitting people, hitting them in the mouth, even when they know that you're coming downhill right at them, and taking over games in the fourth quarter.
I agree. Hey, Dave, go talk to them, man. Give them that pep talk. They need you.
Thank you, Big Ed. Have a great day. Thanks for calling.
All right, Big Ed.
All right.
Sounds good. Very optimistic, Big Ed, each and
every Yeah, that's great,
You're not going to get him down, no matter what the circumstance of the season is.
This is why I love doing this show. After starting 164 games and playing 11 seasons for the Giants, it's great to be able to do shows like this and events and meet the fans that fill our stadium each and every Sunday, the loyal Giants fans, because people forget you were a player of the game or a fan of the game long before you were a player. And, passionate fans are what make this game go and what makes Sundays and the NFL atmosphere walking into Giants Stadium the way that it feels. I know it's MetLife. I still call it Giants Stadium. I refuse to call it MetLife.
I don't think that's a problem. I think the Giants would still refer to it as Giants Stadium, too. But, yeah, the fans are invested just as much as the players in terms of the week-to-week protocol that they go through.
Well, of course they are, and there's a reason why the Giants fans are generation after generation after generation the way that they are is because they're passionate about their team and they love New York Giants football. And you love getting calls like this from Big Ed and from other people talking football because, just as much as the fans are invested, this building, when you're here, everybody from the secretaries to upstairs feel the wins and they feel the losses as well.
And they know what's on the line.
Of course.
And getting back to Ed's point, I'm sure the players, they understand how important this game is. As nice it is to say, what would you tell them in the locker room? They don't need a reminder, given what's at stake
at this point in the juncture. If you need a pep talk as a football player getting ready for Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys, you seriously have something wrong with you.
Yes, time to sign up maybe for a new hobby.
Yeah.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Derek in the ATL. Derek, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, David, it's a D-Town. I just wanted to have a couple of observations. I went to the game in Pittsburgh, and just looking at the game, I saw where the Steelers pretty much played cover two. It had 7 minutes in the box. And it just amazed me how if we can't beat that defense, If we can't have the safety sit in the back, we're going to be in trouble for the rest of the way. I know looking at the game that I play Madden, I play football, and Dave, I know that you probably can answer some of these questions. When a team is just sitting back in cover two, don't you do things like throw like flat corners and tight end seams and maybe screens or something like that. There's a way to defeat that defense and run the ball if they're 7 minutes in the box. And if you can't run the ball or exploit that tight end and that coverage, it's going to be really hard to move and beat teams if they can sit back and cover two all day.
Cover two, cover two is asking you to do two things, run the football down their throat and get the football to your tight end down the seams and through the shallow crossing to open up things. And you're correct in that matter, and that's something that they have not yet to take advantage of this football season. And like I said, that's something that you're going to see out of the Dallas Cowboys. They run a modified Tampa 2. They'll disguise coverages a little bit, but they want to make sure that who they have out there, because of the injuries that they've had, that they want to make sure that they are sound in their coverage. But the biggest thing that can beat any coverage is protection. You protect the quarterback. Right. You can beat any coverage. You can beat anything as long as you give the quarterback enough time. And I had somebody text me. I was looking at Twitter at the Giants chat. Somebody was asking who outside of Eli and Odell can really get this offense going. Obviously, Rashad Jennings in the offensive line with their ability to run the football. But the other one is Sterling Shepard. He had a big game that first one. He's going to be called upon this game to make some big plays because he's going to have some one-on-one matchups, and he needs to win those in order for this offense and the rest of the wide receiving core to take that next step up in this game, which they should, up against a defense and a defensive secondary that has had injuries and inexperience.
And speaking of that, Scandrick, and I'll let you continue, Derek. I just wanted to piggyback off of Dave's
plantar fasciitis.
Correct. He's banged up, and he's the guy that usually lines up in the slot against somebody like Sterling Shepard. Continue, Derek.
Yeah. I know that they go into – what is that? Is it called 13 personnel? The three wide receivers?
And one running back, yep.
running back. Yeah, it's and when you're playing cover two, I mean, when I'm just going from when I play Madden. Someone's playing cover two on me all the time. I'm going to stack my wide receivers on one side and flood a zone, and it's going to force them to change that defense. But I know that it's McAdoo, it's pros. I know that they have schemes and everything, but it just seems, you know, they need to take advantage of a team just standing there back in cover two. But I just want to make a couple of observations from the game. Jack Rabbit, I mean, this guy is playing so well. And, I watched him play one-on-one coverage a lot of the day against Antonio Brown. And it was just impressive. I looked at Paul Perkins. Paul Perkins, the moves that he makes in defeating one linebacker that, you know, he's one-on-one with, he has to get more touches in our game. And Cruz, I understand he didn't get targeted, but, you know, watching live, he was covered, you know. So I don't know what he has to do. Maybe he needs to just put him back a little bit more into the slot to see if we can get him uncovered. But one-on-one, the Steelers don't have really – I mean, they're not decent corners, but, I mean, he was covered. And in the NFL in general, I watched the Bears. Left tackle played really bad the other day. Minnesota right tackle basically had to get replaced during the game.
Well, those are teams that are all dealing with injuries on their offensive line. It's no coincidence that you mentioned that, Derek.
But, you know, also is that when you look John Gruden was saying about the punch and everything, I don't see any of the technique in these players. And I'm like, what are they doing during the week in practice? Where's the technique? I mean, they're grabbing, they're not punching. And I'm like, don't you work on this all week long in practice? And where is it at? Well, thanks for taking my call, David. It's been a pleasure. And, Lance, talk to you and John later.
All right, Derek.
Have a good day.
You got it. Thanks so much for weighing in. I want to try to get a few more callers in here because we got a lot of people that want to chime in. How about Darian in Delaware? Darian, what's happening?
Hey, what's up?
How we doing, Darian?
What's up, Darian?
What do you got for us?
Not much.
Darian, can you do me a favor?
Can you get a little closer?
Are you near the phone or are you on speaker? If you could get closer.
Hold on.
All right.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Thought you were
Darian,
calling from a walkie-talkie, Darian.
Or is it the opposite room or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I said Darian Thompson, like the player. But, I'm just getting a little bit just fed up with the, you know, running game. I mean, I know, our offensive line is very good or whatever. There's a lot of teams across the league, you know, that have, you know, not very good lines or subpar lines. And I'm watching the running game, and it's like I see holes and I see little creases there. But I mean, I feel like the vision is just terrible, and we don't have enough shiftiness. I mean, I want to see more of like a more speedster, you know, shifty running back, something like a Bobby Rainey or Orleans Darkwa. I mean, if you can look across the league, and I mean, not every team has great offensive lines, but I mean, they have. And I know, you know, watching on TV is different than, you know, being in the backfield. You don't see every cut and every hole. But, I mean, I just feel like we have horrible vision at the running back position and, you know, we not enough shiftiness to even get loose or make your own hole, make your own lane. I think I really would like to see more of like a speedier, shiftier running back, like I said, Bobby Rainey or Orleans Darkwa back there, you know, every once in a while. And don't get me wrong, I like Jennings. I really do. And I'm starting to warm up a little bit more to Paul Perkins, but it's like I just want to see a little bit more speed and shiftiness, like in the backfield. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that, and I can take it off the air.
All right, Darren, thanks so much for the phone call.
One of the things that I've thought about watching the Giants' offense and helping out in the run game, one of the things that we'll see moving forward here, if they do more of, is running the football where they're not in shotgun, allowing Rashad Jennings, Paul Perkins to hit the line of scrimmage with a little bit more speed instead of waiting for the handoff after a shotgun.
More decisive.
More decisive. I think that's something that you've seen when we've watched the evolution of DeMarco Murray. His ability to transition from being that downhill running back like Rashad Jennings is to kind of having to wait and pick his points of where he wants to run the football. I think that's something that could help in the run game too. Get him going downhill, let him get to the line of scrimmages fast as possible and allow those blocks to develop so it's not that 1 second delay before they're getting the ball and trying to get a beat on where the defense is.
And then the defense also has time to recuperate under
exactly.
those circumstances. It was actually one play against Cincinnati when the Giants actually were able to run out the clock, Dave, where Jennings had the slight hesitation to the left, then the hole opened up on the right. I don't remember whether they were in the shotgun or not, but giving them that type of flexibility
yeah.
can certainly help to open things up. Now, Paul Perkins has some elusiveness.
Yes,
to him.
He does.
He can change direction. It seems as if they've been quite effective. When he runs off the edge, Dave, mm-hmm. they seem to get some decent runs that way.
But once again, it goes to tight end blocking and wide receiving blocking. When you get to that and when you're going to the edges and testing the edges, it has to be what you always say is whether it's a three technique or if it's who is over the guard, his outside shoulder, or if it's the head-up defensive end on the tight end, that you have to edge the defense at the three in the defensive end for any chance for that ball to be able to get outside. And anytime you see a tight end's shoulders turned and they're not on the same plane and that outside shoulder's not flat pressing and it's turned back, that's where you see defensive ends flip their hips and force that outside zone play to cut right inside to where the entire flow of the defense is coming from.
They shed the tackle.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden the running back has to adjust. And the caller throughout Orleans Darkwood, was actually on IR, so he's no
yeah,
longer
he's
an
no
option.
Longer an option.
Rainey's been mainly on special teams at this point. I think Perkins sort of has taken the Rainey role. And I don't know if, Dave, they want to go back to having four or five running backs because that's what they dealt with last season. It's hard to build rhythm under that.
It really is. And it's each running back brings a different tempo, brings a different read. So I think that there could be an effectiveness with Paul Perkins and Rashad Jennings. But as always, it's got to start up front with the offensive line.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Jay in Connecticut. Jay, what's happening?
Hi. Good afternoon, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Jay. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Just calling, bring a little positive energy. I just wanted to state a few things, and I had one question about in regards to Shane Vereen. But as far as my points, this is what it's all about. I guess this is what it's all about. We can't really be too upset. I mean, we 8-4. You know what I'm saying? This is what it's about. It's getting into that time, getting close to the playoffs. Who wants it? Who doesn't? So I'm seeing it like execution. I mean, it's not like we wasn't in the game last week against Pittsburgh. It was just a few key plays that we made mistakes on that took us out of the game. So it's not like we couldn't win the game. Everybody's mad about the running game. We know what this team is. This team is built through the wide receiving core. The wide receiving core is going to win the games on offense. So if the wide receivers aren't dominating, we're not in the position to win the game. That's just what I've been seeing so far. But as far as Shane Vereen, I feel like he'll jumpstart the run game because that was pretty much his job. It's just like Shane Vereen not being there. What did he finish with? 8 touchdowns last year? That's where all these issues are coming in. Red zone scoring and all that stuff. I feel like that was kind of Shane Vereen's job, like, you know, keep the defense honest. But is he coming back this week? Are they talking about him coming back? How's that going? And then I'll just take guys' answers off the air.
All right, Jay, appreciate the vocal. He returned to practice last week,
yep.
which was certainly encouraging. They're going to start practicing today. We don't have the full report because they haven't done so yet, so we'll know a little bit more by today. But, I mean, all things point to him making progress, Dave. Right now, though, it's hard to say whether he'll be ready for Sunday.
And not to mention, it's not just making progress and getting on the field now. You need him to be a viable option and be able to be durable down the entire stretch. That's something that you have to think about, especially when you're talking about the weather changing. It's going to be cold. You're dealing with a muscle and a tricep that, as a running back and a football player, you're using every single play that you're out there on the field, regardless of whether you're hitting somebody or you're running. That is a muscle that needs to be fully healed up for you to be able to go out and perform your best, and the mental hurdle of it, being able to overcome that injury and feeling like you're in the best shape possible and best mental frame possible to be in your best when you step out onto the field.
Well, and you can attest to this, Dave, what you just mentioned. There's a distinct difference between being physically ready, being football ready.
Oh,
those
yeah.
are two different things. You could be in shape, but then can you take the hits and absorb that over the course of a contest?
Will you be able to sustain down a drive where you're getting the ball every single time, or you're running out on the route, or you're chipping, or a lot goes into it. So they're always, what you always talk about, there's a difference from being in shape, and there's a difference between being in football shape.
And the perfect example would be a player that the Giants went up against last week, Ladarius Green, who just
yep.
recently came off PUP. this was his breakout game. But he already had three games under his belt. He didn't all of a sudden step back on the field and it was voila. You know, it took him a few to get back into the rhythm. And the same thing could happen with Vereen. You can't expect him to step on the field and then the offense efficiency is going to change just like that.
The good thing, though, is it's a veteran that knows the offense, knows how to play. He's played a bunch of football. And you're hoping for this Giants offense that he does bring that added dimension, if healthy, because it's needed.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We got Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. A little disappointed with the game Sunday. But, Lance, whoever's doing the featured photo gallery on a website, they're doing a nice job with that. I'm really enjoying that, especially some of the Yola pictures. So pass that along for me. Give them my compliments, will you?
We certainly will. Absolutely. Nothing more brings me joy than patting the staff on the back. I can tell you that.
Okay. It'd
be my absolute pleasure to do that.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
But, David, I'm having a hard time with something in regard to the Giants' offense. Maybe you can help me understand why it seems the offense has regressed this year. You know, having essentially the same personnel on offense and you know, with Coach Mack being the offensive coach that he is, why have things gone south with the offense this year, do you think?
Well, number one, you think about in being able to run the ball efficiently and effectively. What was the game plan going into this season? Brought in Will Johnson and the healthy Nikita Whitlock. You lose both of those guys. They're both on injured reserve. They're done for the year. And then you're trying to play catch-up and doing whatever you can possible with your roster where it's at currently. And we all know that if you want to have an effective running game, when we talked about being able to test the edges, it's all about edging the defense at that tight end position. Hence, while I talked this entire season in which the Giants started to do, is running the jumbo package, putting your six best out there and trying to run the football downhill and down people's throat and doing it at a high level. And I think that's something that needs to be done consistently here, not only just with the yardage, but making sure that they stick to the run and get the carries. Some of the times, even if you're only getting a 1 or a 2 yard gain, to those start breaking into 3-4s in the fourth quarter. But more than anything, those attempts make defenses worried and respect the run. Regardless of the outcome of them, if you're running the football, even that split-second hesitation, if you can take a linebacker or two linebackers and get him to take one step up, or a safety to catch his eyes to where he's trying to look in the backfield and a crosser's going across, it gives you that split second. You've got to be able to run the football effectively and stick to it in order for it to happen. And like I said, when you see Eli, when play action's rolling, when he's able to direct everything at the line of scrimmage, that's where he's spreading the football around effectively.
Well, I've always been a huge proponent of the running game. I'm an old school guy like Paul Dottino is.
And so am I, Jeff.
Yeah,
there's no school like the old school.
You got to be able to pound the ball successfully every time you need to do it, and you know, if you can, you're not going to lose a whole lot of games. But I guess we'll have to have to wait till next year for that to happen. So, all right, you guys have a good day, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
I think you brought up an excellent point, Dave, and I was looking at the numbers. It was 14-7 at one point against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Giants only had 14 carries on Sunday. But it was still, it seemed like it was a close game.
It was.
But it became a lot pass happy, whereas the previous weeks, you know, they were averaging about 25, 26 carries a game. So you need those rotations and those reps, as you mentioned.
Yeah, you need the bulk of the carry, and you want to, as much as you can, stay balanced offensively for you to be able to, like I said, have play action work successfully and to take those shots downfield. Not to mention being able to control the line of scrimmage and control the time of possession and try to wear down a defense like this Dallas defense that's been on the field the least amount of any group in the NFL.
Time of possession is going to be a huge storyline come Sunday Night Football, the Giants and the Cowboys. Well, we appreciate everybody for tuning in over the last 60 minutes as we reviewed what happened to the Steelers, looked ahead to the Cowboys game, and obviously JPP out at least 6 weeks after undergoing surgery. Dave, always a pleasure going back
to you. You too, Lance. I love this stuff.
Sounds good. For David Deal, I'm Lance Beno. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday right here on Giants.com.